and five molded and segments of the mouth and human voice system. We talked about lastly the molde or lisan, the segment of the tongue, and all those alphabets which are pronounced through the tongue. And now tonight's discussion is related to, first of all, related to
al-huruf al-muqatta'at.
We call them al-huruf al-muqatta'at, the broken singular letters. Like you have alif, you know, you have alif, lam, mim, isn't that right? Qa, fa, ha, mim, and so on and so forth. Within that, in the Holy Quran, yasin, fa, ha, isn't that right? And so on and so forth. All those. So we have basically 29 surahs of Quran, to put it very shortly, 29 chapters and surahs of Quran, which has these huruf al-muqatta'at, the broken letters, in the beginning of those surahs. And here is the law. And so if you combine all those broken letters and you want to make one sentence and you drop the repeated letters, the sentence that will form is what is mentioned by our mufassireen. You know, this is a sentence that will form by joining all those letters together in a sentence and dropping the repeated ones. Siratu Aliyin, the path of Ali. Haqqun is right, is the righteous, is haq and truth. Numsikuhu, that's what we hold on to it. So the law of huruf al-muqatta'at is as follows. You read those huruf al-muqatta'at like their pronunciations. So what is the pronunciation of alif? Isn't that right? Alif. That's how we pronounce the arif. How do you pronounce the lam? You say it lam. That's how you pronounce lam. How do you pronounce meme? You pronounce it like meme. This is the pronunciation of each alphabet. We read the alphabets according to their pronunciation of that individual letter. This letter is pronounced as alif. So that's how we read it. We don't say alam. We read it alif, lam, mim, as their individual pronunciations. So in this case, how is this letter pronounced? This is pronounced like this. Qaf. Isn't that right? Qaf. How is this one pronounced? Saad. How is this one pronounced? Ha. How is this one pronounced? These are the pronunciations. Okay, what about this? Ya. That's the pronunciation. How is about this? Seen. What about this? Ta. Ha. That's how the alphabet is pronounced. Okay? So, okay, let me write the other ones as well. Kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. Okay, how do we pronounce this one? Kaf. This one is the same ha that I already wrote. This one is the ya that we already wrote here. Ayn, we did not write.
عين. Okay.
Thought, we already wrote it here. Okay. Let's move to another of those. Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. I'll explain why I put those sign of mud on it. Okay, let me first mention all the rest of the huruf al-muqatta'at first. Alif, Lam, Mim, Ra. Alif, Lam, Qad, and then Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf, we already did. Ta, Sin, Mim, we did. Ha, Mim, we did already. Yes, Noon, I missed the Noon. Anything else? No. So some of those are repeated. So basically, these are the total, what we call al-huruf al-muqatta'at, which are found in the beginning of 29 surahs of Quran in total. The broken alphabets, the law of reciting those in Quran says, you have to look at how each individual alphabet is pronounced. How do you pronounce this? You pronounce it like alif. This is the description of the pronunciation, alif. So you read it not like a, you read like alif. How is this one pronounced? Lam. So you wouldn't say la, you would pronounce it like lam. How the pronunciation of the alphabet is. This one is not pronounced, the pronunciation of the alphabet is like this, neem. So that's how you would pronounce it. This one is pronounced like kaf. This one is pronounced like saad. This one is ha. This one is again meme. This one is ya. We already did it here. Ya. And then seen is seen. Pa is pa. Ha is ha. So that's our kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad. Now the law says, when I've written all the pronunciations here, okay? I don't think anyone here, noon is the only one that we didn't do. Okay, we'll do it, we pronounce it like noon. Okay, that's the pronunciation of the alphabet. So now we have written the pronunciations of all the alphabets. I think qaf is still missing. So we'll do it like qaf. Oh, we did qaf as well earlier. Yeah, all are done. Saad is also done, meem is done, lam and alif. All. So these are the pronunciations. We read it like they are pronunciations of the alphabet. Now when you have seen the pronunciations written by me here, pronunciations of each alphabet are written here. Look at the pronunciations. Which of those pronunciations are a three-letter word? All those pronunciations which are three-letter words, you have to read it with a mud. And all those which are not a three-letter word, you don't have to read it with a mud. The only exception is the alif having a hamza after it, which we call it alifun mamduda in Arabic. Alifun mamduda is the exception, so don't count this hamza. So drop the hamza. Those are the alphabets in whose pronunciation there is a hamza at the end. Don't count the hamza, count the rest of the two alphabets. So if the remainder of the alphabets are just two, there is no mud on it. If the remainder alphabets are three, there has to be a mud on it. I repeat, don't count the hamza. If the remainder of the alphabets of the pronunciation are two alphabets, then there has to be no mud. If the remainder are three, there has to be a mud. So that's why you find some of the alphabets I did not write a mud on it. The rest of the ones I wrote a mud. So I didn't write you know, I did not. Can you give me a Quran, please? So, this is the law that we just learned. Alif is the exception. Alif is the only exception that it is a three-letter pronunciation, but we still don't put the mad. That's an exception. So, lam is a three-letter, lam and alif and meem, three-letter words. So, there has to be a mad. Meem is a three-letter word, meem and ya and meem. Meem's pronunciation is a three-letter word. So, there has to be a mad. Qaf's pronunciation is a three-letter word, qaf and alif and fa. So there has to be a mad. Saad's pronunciation is a three-letter word, saad and alif and dal. So there has to be a mad. Ha is without the mad because there's a hamza and we don't count hamza and the remainder are just two-letter word in the pronunciation, ha. So we don't put a mad on the ha. Meem's pronunciation is a three-letter word, meem and ya and meem. So that's why we put a mad on it. Ya's pronunciation is ya. We don't count the hamza. The remainder of the pronunciation is a two-letter word, ya and alif. So that's why we don't put a mad on the top of ya. Seen's pronunciation, seen and ya and noon is a three-letter word. So we put a mad on it. Ta. We don't count the hamza. The remainder are just two-letter words. So we don't put a mad on it. Ha. There is a hamza, we don't count the hamza. The remainder is a two-letter word, so we don't put a mad on it. Okay, kaf, I put a mad, because pronunciation is a three-letter word. Ha, we already did, it doesn't have a mad, because we don't count hamza. Ya, it doesn't have a hamza, we don't count the ya, we don't count the hamza here, it's a two-letter word. Ayn and ya and noon, its pronunciation is a three-letter word, we put a mad on it. Saad's pronunciation, we did already. Saad and alif and dal, it's a three-letter word. So that's how we deal with all of them. Qaf, qaf and alif and fa. Noon's pronunciation, noon and waw and noon. Because their pronunciations are three-letter words, so we have to read them with a mad. If the pronunciation is not a three-letter word, we don't put a mad on top of it in the law of huruf al-muqatta'at. Alif is the exception, which I told you already. Hamza is not counted. Is this clear? That's the law of huruf al-muqatta'at. So we will read in the Holy Quran, alif, lam, meem, with the mad. Okay? You don't read it alif, lam, meem. This is not right. You read it alif, without mad, and then lam, meem, with the mad. Okay? That's how we read it. So we read qaf. You don't say qaf. You have to do it with the mud. Qaf, saad, ha, without mud. Meem, ya, without mud. Ya, seen, with the mud. And the minimum of the law of the mud says, two alif, equal to two alif. And this is how in Ilm al-Tajweed they teach us, you fold your two fingers, equal one finger for each alif. You know, ya, seen. Ya seen. So ya, there is no mud. Seen, there has to be mud. Ta ha has no mud. Kaf has mud. Ha and ya doesn't have mud. Kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad. That's how we pronounce it. Ha without the mud. Meem, ayn, seen, kaf with the mud. Okay. Noon with the mud. Noon. Ta without the mad. Seen, meem. Alif without mad. Lam, meem. Ra without mad. Alif without mad. Then lam, meem. Saad. That's how you pronounce it. Okay? This is the law of al-huruf al-muqatta'at. Now the next discussion is about saying of takbir. It is permissible in ilm al-tajweed to say Allahu Akbar in between some of the surahs. Not all the surahs. We don't do it, in ilm al-tajweed. We don't do it between all the surahs. In some of the surahs, it is permissible according to the law of ilm al-tajweed to say Allahu Akbar. And we need to learn the law. Where it is permissible and why. According to the riwayat Hafs an al-Asim, which we consider to be hujjat and authentic, Hafs an al-Asim and Abdullah al-Sulami, this is an authentic narration, and that's how we rely on this. It is okay, according to this narration, it is okay to say Allahu Akbar, the takbir, from the beginning of Surah Al-Duha up till Suratun Nas. So you can say Allahu Akbar in the beginning of Surah Al-Duha, and every surah which comes after it, up to the last surah which is Surah An-Nas. You can say takbir in the beginning of Surah An-Nas as well. Why is this happening? Because the nuzul of wahi, the revelation stopped for a while, and Prophet was not feeling good for the break in the revelation, and now after the break, when Jibreel brought the revelation again, that's where he brought Surah Al-Duha, and because of the happiness of Rasulullah, he became so happy, and he now again received the new surah. He became so happy because of his extreme happiness. Extreme happiness, Prophet said Allahu Akbar. And that's why it became the sunnah of Rasulullah that we can also say Allahu Akbar and takbir before the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim of each of these surahs. That was the sunnah, that became the sunnah. So because Prophet said it, so we can also say Bismillah before Surah Al-Duha. And we can say it actually before all these surahs, after Surah Al-Duha as well. So we don't say Allahu Akbar in front of any other surah of Quran, but you can say Allahu Akbar before any of these surahs, starting from Surah Al-Duha and all the rest of the surahs after that. So this is the law of takbir, which you may find in some of those audio cassettes of famous qaris. You find they are saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then they continue, they attach Allahu Akbar with Bismillah and continue to read the surah. That's because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah. He said it before Surah Al-Duha. Now we move forward to the next law, which is the law of isti'adha and basmala. The law of isti'adha and basmala. Isti'adha and basmala. Isti'adha in Arabic we call it to أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. It's called الاستعاذة. And Basmala is the short form of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So there's a law whenever we read. It's mustahab. When you read and do the tilawat, you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is mustahab to be recited. And we say Bismillah whenever there is the, you know, Bismillah is part of every surah except Surah At-Tawbah. So our Sunni brothers consider Bismillah to be part of Surah Al-Fatiha only, not the rest of the surahs which has Bismillah. Whereas we consider Bismillah of every surah to be part of that surah, except Surah At-Tawbah, of course. And also the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is different in our tafsir. Every single Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim has a different meaning, which is related to the contents of that specific surah. So Isti'adha and Basmala, how to read it in Ilm al-Tajweed, has a principle. So you have been given these four options to choose from. And I'll mention all those four options to you. These are the four options in the Ilm al-Tajweed when we are reading Isti'adha. That means A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. And Basmala, it is Bismillah Rahman Rahim. First is Wasl. That means you connect the whole thing. You connect A'udhu Billah Al-Isti'adha. And then you connect it with Basmala also. So you, like you say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. And then you connect it with Bismillah ar-Rahman. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You can read it like this. Wasl means connecting. So you can connect the isti'adha with the basmala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or second option is the qat. That means you read isti'adha and you cut. You don't connect it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You stop it there. So you don't read the kasra. You don't read it, the kasra at the end of the meme. You just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. And you stop. Do the tawakkuf. And then you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, by cutting it. Without connecting the two together. And you know the law that we do, Al-Waqf bis-sukoon. Or and al-waslu bil-haraka. So whenever you stop it by giving the sukoon and jazm at the end of the word. So if you stop at the word ar-rajim, then you don't give the harakat at the end of the meme. You do, when you are doing tawakkuf, you are doing waqf, you are stopping. Sorry, waqf. Yeah, when you're stopping at the meem, then you do it with the sukoon. So you make, convert the kasra into a sukoon. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. You don't say ar-rajimi. This is wrong in ilm al-tajweed. You do the waqf bis-sukoon always. When you stop somewhere, you basically convert the last harakat into jazm, into sukoon. And you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Instead of saying ar-rajimi. This is wrong. Or if you want to do the wasl, you want to connect reading, continue reading it, then you connect it and you continue reading it with the harakat. That means if you want to connect it, like here we are doing the wasl, we are connecting the isti'adha with the basmala. So we connect it by giving the harakat. In this case, the harakat is the kasra, the zair. So you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So whenever you're connecting, you express the harakat, which is the kasra and the zair here. When you don't connect and you do the qat, then you do the tawakkuf with sukoon. You stop here and you give the sukoon, jazm at the last alphabet. Okay? This is the law. Al-waqf bis-sukun wal-wasl bil-haraka. So if you say iyyaka na'bud, you want to stop there, then you don't say na'budu, you say na'bud, because in the case of waqf, you do give sukun to the last alphabet. Iyyaka na'bud. Or if you want to connect it, then you have to connect it through the harakat. Express the zair zabar pesh, fatha, dhamma, kasra. You say iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, na'budu. So you give the harakat on the dal, the dhamma on the dal, or the pesh on the dal, and you say iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay? So this is law of waqf bis sukun and wasl bil harakat. So if you want to do the qat, that means you break the ista'adha and the basmala from each other, then you do the tawakkuf bis sukun. So you do a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, and then you say bismillah ar-rahman. You take a breath. You take a breath and then you say bismillah. If you don't take a breath, then this is not called waqf in ilm al-tajweed. That is called sakta. The difference between waqf and sakta is that in sakta you take a break without taking the breath, whereas in the waqf you stop by taking a breath. So when we are talking waqf, it means you stop there and take a breath and then continue. Whereas in the case of sakta, you stop but you don't take a breath. You don't take a breath. So we are not talking about sakta. So you have to take a breath here. So a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Take a breath and then you say bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Okay? This is the law of qat between ista'adha and basmala. The third option is waslul awwal and qat uthani. That means you connect the first and you break with the next. What do we mean by this? We mean that you connect the ista'adha with the basmala, but you don't connect the basmala with the surah. Okay? So now you say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Then you do the waqf, you take a breath, and then you say alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. So you connected waslul awwal, you connect the first two, wa qat'ul thani, you break the second one from the surah. Okay? So you connect the isti'adha with the basmala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Then you take a breath, you cut the second one, that means you don't connect the bismillah with the surah. You take the do the tawakkuf, you stop there, and then you take a breath and then start reading the surah. Okay? This one is opposite to the third one. Qat'ul awwal, breaking the first and connecting the second. That means when you're reading isti'adha, you take a break here. Don't connect it with the Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Then you say the Bismillah and you connect it with the surah. Okay? So here you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You stop there, do the waqf. So when you do the waqf, of course, you will take a breath. You're not connecting it with Bismillah. You take stop there and take a breath. Then you connect the Bismillah with the surah, waslus thani, connecting the second one. So now you say, Bismillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Stop there, take a breath. Then you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay? That's the fourth option. So we have four options in ilm al-tajweed when it comes to isti'adha and basmala. Also, the law of basmala between two surahs is also the same. Let's suppose you are reading Quran and one surah after the other. So now, end of the surah, you can also connect it with the Bismillah Rahman Rahim of the next surah. And you can also connect the Bismillah with the surah. You can disconnect the end of the previous surah, take a waqf, take a breath, then start Bismillah Rahman Rahim of the next surah and connect the Bismillah with the next surah. So you can work in the same way with the surah and Bismillah of the next surah and the next surah. Just like we deal with Istiaza and Basmala and the Surah, likewise you can deal with the Surah and the next Bismillah and the next Surah. Is it clear? Okay. Now we'll talk about the seven exceptions in Mustasnayat in Quran. We can take it, inshallah. We have seven kalimat which are mustasna, exempt. In these seven kalimat, what happens is that there is an alif at the end, alifun maddiya. That's how we call it in the grammar. So there's an alifun maddiya, alif at the end. This alif is when you do tawakkuf, when you do the waqf on one of these seven places in Quran, you do the waqf, you stop and take a breath. And if you do the waqf, that means you stop and take a breath, you do the waqf, when the law of waqf applies, you will read those kalimat with the alif at the end. But if you are not doing the waqf and you are connecting it with the next word, this word is connected with the next word, in that case, you're not doing the waqf. In that case, you will not read the alif. Instead, you will just read the fatha on top of the word only. You'll drop the alif in those seven kalimat, seven words in Quran. What are those seven exceptions? These are the exceptions. Number one, lakinna. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 38. If you want to write down, please write it down, because these are specific locations in Quran where you will find these alif and maddiya at the end, and this law applies, and these are exceptions in Quran. Surah Al-Kahf, verse 38. Number two, second exception is Avununa. And this is in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 10. This is a mustasna, an exception number 2. And the third one is Ar-Rasulah. And that is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 66. And then the fourth one is As-Sabila. This is Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 67. And then the fifth mustasna in Quran, fifth exception is Salasila, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Dahr, which is also called Surah Al-Insan, verse number 4. This is an exception. And then number 6th exception is also Qawarira. This is also found in Surah Al-Dahr, also called Surah Al-Insan, verse number 15. And the last one is Ana, wherever found in the Holy Quran. has the same principle. So these are the seven mustasnayat and exceptions in Quran where alif is alifun maddiya is written at the end of the words. If you do the waqf, you will read the alif at the end. If you don't do the waqf and you want to connect this word with the next ayat, then you just read it like a fatha and you drop the alif. You read it like a fatha if you are doing the wasl. Okay? If you want to open up the Quran in one of those places so we can do some exercise, if you can open Surah Al-Ahzab please, verse 66. Let's read one of the verses together so we can practice. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 66. Inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa'adalluna sabila. Inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa'adalluna sabila. Surah Al-Ahzab. I think it's Surah number 33, if I'm not mistaken. Surah 33. Surah 33, I think. Verse 67 or 66, whatever. Take, open up anyone. Let's practice a bit. Okay, did you find it?
So you still, even if you have the alif maddiya, la, you still have to put the fatha above it?
No, we don't put no mark on the alif.
Okay.
There's no mark on alif in Arabic, is always sakin. There cannot be any i'rab on the alif at all. We put the fatha before the alif. Did you find it? Did you find it? Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 66? Huh? Okay. Can you give me one Quran? You have, we can read at least one verse together. Okay, thank you. Okay, here, see? Here are two verses. يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. So here, أَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ, they put a circle on top of it, which is the sign of silent mark of silent in Arabic. So they put a circle on top of the alif. So because we are not supposed to pronounce it. You're not supposed to pronounce if you are connecting it. Okay? So inna ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na Rasula. So when you stop, you will pronounce the alif. Now in the case you are connecting it, we won't pronounce, we just read it like a fatha on the lam. So we would say, أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ. Here again, if you stop, you would say, أَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ with the alif. But if you don't want to stop, and you want to again connect this ayat with the next one, then you will drop the alif. And you just read lam with the fatha, and you would say, فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ رَبَّنَا. Okay? فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَالْعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا. Okay? So when you stop, you will read the alif. Alifun maddiya. If you don't stop and you connect it, then you just read the fatha before the alif. Is that clear? So these are the seven mustasna in the Holy Quran. So please write it down. Also, we have some mustasnas about the alif. I think we need to have one more last class remaining because we will be needing some more time, a little bit more time. So inshallah, next class, probably we'll be done. It's just a little bit remaining, but I think it will take time, and we can't finish in these 3-4 minutes. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ